did you folks have a good 4th of July? We did. We didn't do much. But we really enjoyed it, you know. Too lazy to go see the fireworks. We just went to bed. But that's all right. Well, we're glad to have you with us on this Sabbath. It's great to be able to be here to worship God together, isn't it? Some years ago, we got a call from a young lady who said she urgently needed help. And so we went to visit with this young lady, and the story was is that she was going through a horrible divorce, and she was hurting, and somebody told her she needed to call a preacher, and she looked in the phone book and saw Adventist was the first one on the list, and she called. Well, as I listened to her story, it became very, very obvious that what this young lady needed was Jesus. So I presented to talk to her about Jesus. And I noticed that she started getting a funny look on her face as I was talking about Jesus. And I couldn't quite figure out what was going on, but I went ahead and I told her, you know, and asked her if she'd like to ask Christ in her life. And I asked her first, I said, do you have any questions? She said, yes. Who is this Jesus you keep talking about? I said, who is he anyhow? I was shocked to discover that here in America there are people that don't know about Jesus. Her story was is that her parents were in the military, and they'd spent almost all of their time overseas. They'd never gone to church. They weren't religious. And the only way she'd ever heard the name Jesus was as a swear word. She didn't know anything about religion. Had the privilege of sharing with her who Jesus was. Kind of reminds me of a story of this missionary that was in China. And he was trying to talk to this group of people about who Jesus was, and he was talking and sharing, and all of a sudden a little lady in the back starts waving her hand like that, and he said, yes. She says, who is this guy you keep talking about anyhow? And what is his death and his life 2,000 years ago has to do with me today? It's a pretty good question, isn't it? Just who is this Jesus? Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus is the most awesome person that has ever lived on this earth. That's who Jesus is. Over here in Colossians chapter 1, we find probably the best definition of who Jesus is in the entire Bible. Now, we're going to read this, and then you have some notes in your bulletin, and this is for you to fill out. And we'll fill this out ahead of time so that when I'm preaching, you don't have to worry about this. But take this home and look this over, because this tells you who Jesus is. Let's just read the text first, and we'll come back and look at the paper. Colossians chapter 1. We'll start with verse 13 and read to verse 20. All right? Colossians chapter 1. I want to start with verse 12. Always thanking the Father who has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who lives in the light. For he has rescued us from one who lives, who rules in the kingdom of darkness. And he has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has purchased our freedom with his, Jesus' blood, and has forgiven all our sins. Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all, and is supreme over all creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before anything else began, and he holds all creation together. Christ is the head of the church, which is the body. He is the first of all who were raised from the dead. So we see he is first in everything. For God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And by him, God reconciled everything else to him, himself. Now, who is this awesome Jesus, anyhow? Well, if you take your sheet of paper, I'm just going to give you the answers, and you'll come back and look at it. First of all, who is this awesome Jesus? He is the Creator. That's who he is. You have a text here, Colossians 1:16. We'll come back and look at these texts. So he is, first of all, the Creator of this world. Number two, he is our Redeemer. Redeemer. We find that in verse Colossians 1:13 and 14. We'll come back and look at these. He is our Redeemer. Number three, He is our Sustainer, or He is the one that holds us together. He keeps us going. And that's Colossians 1:17. He is our Sustainer. Secondly, or number four, He is the head of this church. The head of the church. Colossians 1:18. And last but not least, He is God in human flesh. That's who Jesus is, this awesome Jesus. Now, you got all that? You got it written down on your sheet of paper? Now you can put it away. When you go home, you can look at it, okay? Now, let's come back and let's talk about who Jesus is, this awesome Jesus. First of all, we're told here that Jesus is the creator of this world. Now, I want to read this to you again, because I think it's very, very, very important that we catch this. Christ is the one through whom God created everything. This is verse 16. In heaven and earth, He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, everything has been created through Him and for Him. He existed before all else began. Christ, along with God the Father, and along with the Holy Spirit, were the ones that created this world. Now, the Bible is really clear on this. There's so many texts. You might want to write this down. Write down Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. And here we find another statement on who Christ is and what He did. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Now, let me just read this to you. I'll start with verse 1. It says, Long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. But now, in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, He made the universe and everything in it. Christ had a part in creating this world. Now, another text, we won't take time to look at it, but you all know it, is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus had a part in creation. Now, I wasn't back there. I don't know how they did it, but I just tell you this, the Bible is abundantly clear that Jesus Christ had a part in this creation. Now, some people believe that Christ was created. Some people believe that Christ was with God from the very beginning. I don't know. I tend to believe that He was with God from the very beginning. But it really doesn't make any difference, because the Bible makes it clear that Christ is the one who created this world. And if He created this world, that means that He's the boss of this world, doesn't it? Isn't that right? So, I just accept it. I think, well, you know, if this is what the Bible says, this is the way it is. Now, why is this so important that we understand that Christ is the creator of this world? Well, I think I've told some of you folks before that I'm actually a model railroader. I started when I was in about the fourth grade in school, and I got bored with school, and somebody brought an American Flyer catalog there, and I started looking at this thing. We were so poor. We didn't have any money. And, we were worse than church mice, you know, our family was. But I fell in love with trains. I knew my mother would never let me buy one because she's a little staunch German, is really tight-fisted, you know. So I just said, okay, I'll start making stuff. So I started carving stuff out of wood. And I started making things. I get tin cans, and my dad had a little old big soldering torch, you know. And so I started putting things together and making things. And I've been making things ever since then. I must tell you that one of the small reasons why I married my wife was because, well, let me just tell you, we were out parking and sparking. And in between sparking, she says, do you have any hobbies? I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, what are you? Oh, I'm a model railroader. Oh, you are? You have any of this stuff? I said, I just happen to have my trunk full of stuff. We quit sparking. I got out of the car, and we went to the back and opened up the trunk and had a little light on it, and I started pulling out all this stuff, and she started going, oh, that is so cute. You made this? Yeah, I made this. Oh, my. Well, I thought to myself, man, if somebody likes that, I'm going to have to marry that woman. You know? But I've been making stuff ever since I was a little kid. And, you know, I not only make it, but if I make it, it's precious. By the way, anymore, when I make something, I show it to my wife, I say, oh, that's cute, and goes on her way, you know. And I like to make stuff. And when you make stuff, you know, that becomes very precious to you. Now, here, recently, I made this. And this is, I make all my stuff, you know. But here's a little rail car that I've made. And this thing actually runs. It has a motor in it. If I put it on a piece of track and I start it up, it'll go forward. And I put the reverse, it'll go backwards like that. But it's scratch built. I mean, when I say scratch built, the only thing I bought on this was the wheels and the motor and the gear. Everything else is I scratch built it. Yeah, don't touch it. But, you know, I'm just telling you that when you make something, it becomes very precious in your sight, you know. And folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ made me. And he made you. And he made you. And he made you, Paul. And he made you. Jesus made us. And you know, because he created us, we are very, very precious in his sight. And he doesn't want anything to hurt us. He'll do everything he can to make sure that we survive and thrive in this world, you know. And he has a special plan, a special way to take care of us, too. So this is why it's so important for we understand this. Now, you notice I even have a box with this thing. I put it in that box. Man, I tell you, I got a lock on it here. And I keep this thing, you know. Well, all of my stuff, you know, and you make something, it's special, isn't it? So first of all, Jesus Christ is our creator. And because he created us, he loves us. Now, the second thing it tells us here in verses 13 and onward, it says, for he has rescued us from the one who rules the kingdom of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. God has purchased our freedom with his, and it's talking about Jesus, with his blood, and has forgiven our sins. So Christ not only created us, but he has redeemed us, or he's bought us back. Now, you know the horrible story of what happened. You know, the problem in heaven, and Lucifer, who also was a created being, got to the place where he thought he was as big as God, and he started an insurrection in heaven. And finally, the Bible tells us there was actually a war in heaven. And a third of the angels sided with Lucifer. They lost the battle, but they weren't through. And so they came to this earth, and the earth had just been created, you know, and Adam and Eve were here. And Lucifer tempted Eve and then Adam. And from that point on, he has claimed that this world is his. You know, I have a good friend of ours. She had a little girl, and she was reading the Bible story, and she loved to read the Bible stories. You know, those are neat books by Arthur S. Maxwell. It have to be good. They're by Maxwell, you know. But at any rate, she reading the Bible story, and she'd read the story many times, and she said one night she was reading the story to her daughter, and her little daughter was just intent, and she came to this part about the temptation, you know, about the serpent talking to Eve, and all of a sudden the little girl yells out, "Don't do it, Eve! Don't do it! You'll get us all in trouble!" Well, I want to tell you something, folks. We all are in trouble. You know, we are all, the wages of sin is death, and all of us have sinned. But you know, God's not happy about that because he created us. He wants us to live. And so what did he do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He came to this earth. He came down to this earth. He was born as a baby. He gave up his power, his authority right next to God. Came down and became a baby just like we were. And then he grew up into manhood in this horrible, wicked world, tempted by Satan. Satan poured it on him like he's never poured it on before. But Jesus never once sinned. Jesus conquered sin totally. And after he totally conquered sin, then Jesus voluntarily paid the price for all sins. He paid the price for my sins and your sins. You know, did you know that Satan didn't want Jesus to die? Did you know that? And did you know that Jesus didn't have to die? He could have chosen to chuck out of this world. But he chose, because he loved us, to die. For God God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe this, we can have life. That's who Jesus is. He is, first of all, our what? Creator, and He is our Redeemer. Let me tell you a neat little story that just kind of sums these two points up. This little boy, kind of like me, that loved to make things. And one day he decided he was going to make himself a boat. So he goes out to his dad's woodworking place, and he got himself a big 4x4 piece of lumber, and he started carving on it. He's got his dad's chisel, and he's got his, all this stuff, and his dad is showing him how to do it. And he carves out this hull of the ship. And then he decides, you know, I'm going to make this the prettiest and nicest ship. And so he builds a little cabin on the ship, and then he puts a sail on it, and he has his mother help him make a little sail in the thing. And then he takes it down and saves it afloat, and it needs a little work, so he adjusts it a little bit, and then he brings it back. And finally, when he gets it just what he wants, he paints it. And then on the very bottom, he carved his initials. Well, he loved his boat. He loved to take it down to the river that was nearby, and he had a long stick, and he would push the boat out, and then he'd run along the back and take his stick and pull it back in, so it wouldn't get out in the current. But one day, as he out there playing with his boat, all of a sudden, the wind caught the sail and got it out into the main part of the river that was quite deep, and he couldn't get his boat back. So he ran along the bank, and he kept looking at his boat, hoping and praying that the boat would come back to the shore, but it never did. And finally, he saw it go off in the distance, and he just sat down and he cried. He'd lost his boat. About 2 weeks later, he went to town with his mother, and as he was walking down the street, he looked in the pawn shop, and there was his boat. Oh, he was so excited. He went in and said, "Mister, could I see that boat?" The man brought the boat over, he turned it upside down, and says, "Mister, this is my boat. See, there's my initials." And the man said, "Sonny, I'll tell you something. I believe it, but somebody brought it in. I bought it from him, and you know, I've got to make a little money. So if you want your boat back, you're going to have to pay $5. I said, "I don't have $5. But don't sell the boat. You hold on to that boat. I'll be back." Boy, he left there with determination. He got a job mowing lawn. He did all kinds of things for his mother and all the neighbors around there. Man, this kid was Mr. Handyman. And he started collecting his nickels and his dimes and his quarters. And finally, he counted them out. He had $5. Goes down to the pawn shop. He has this little bag of money, and he dumps the coins out on the counter, and the coins go over a place, and the guy grabs them, starts counting them out. Sure enough, $5. The guy goes and gets the boat, and he brings it to the little boy. And that little boy grabbed his boat and held it in his arms like this, and this is what he said. "You are mine, all mine. I made you first, then I lost you. Now I've bought you back again. You are mine." Folks, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He made us. He lost us through no fault of Himself. But He loved us so much He bought us back. He bought us back with His own blood. We are His. So, first of all, Jesus is our Creator. Secondly, He is our Redeemer. But He's something else. Notice what else He is here. Verse 17, he says, "He existed before anything else began, and He holds all creations together." Some translations say He's the sustainer. What does it mean? Well, that means He's actively involved in this world today. That's what it means. I mean, He didn't just create us and then walk off and leave us. He created us, and He is watching over us, anxiously caring for us. You know, I want to tell you, if it wasn't for God, this world would have blown apart long ago. I'm telling you. You know, it's interesting that just when everything gets so rotten, God always steps in. You see it in the Bible over and over and over again. Now, I'll tell you something. If it wasn't for God, I'd have blown apart long ago. You know, we all go through this. And the devil's ultimate goal is to destroy every one of us. And he'll do everything he can to get rid of us. But God is there. And at the right time, God is going to step in. He's going to take care of us. We can bank on it. I can bank on it because I've seen it happen over and over and over again. He is the sustainer of this world. He holds this whole world together. And one of these days, my Jesus is going to come back to this earth. And he's going to take care of the horrible mess that's in this world. And there's not going to be any more sin. There's not going to be any more corruption. We're going to have life like we've never had it before. We're going to talk more about this later on in a couple of sermons down the line. But that's who Jesus is. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is the Sustainer. But you know, the Bible tells us here that he is something else. Notice verse 18. It says, he is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the first of all who will rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. It says he's the head of the church. And what does that mean? Well, it means that he is the head of this church. That's what it means. I'm not the head of this church. General Conference President's not the head of this church. Jesus is the head of this church. Now, what else does that mean? It means this. If this church belongs to God, then God is going to make sure that it goes through to victory. That's what it means. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. What that means is, first of all, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I want him to be in charge of my life. That's the Christian part. And that, to me, is the most important part. I believe there's Christians in all denominations. But I am a Seventh-day Adventist. That's what I believe. I believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is closest to this Bible of any other church that I know of. And that's why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. I have accepted. I've said, okay, God, I'm going to go with you. I believe it. If it's there, I believe it, and that settles it. So I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. If that is so, and it is so, then that means that God is the head of this church. Now, in my 40-plus years in ministry, I've seen a lot of stupid things take place in the Adventist church. And I've seen a lot of crud. And I've seen things happen that just you would almost make you sick. And I want to tell you, there's been temptations. Why should I even stay in the ministry? But you know something? When I realize that God is the head of this church, I begin to realize it's his problem, not mine. I don't have to worry about that. All I have to do is tell him about it. You know? And then I go on to do what God wants me to do. The way he wants me to do it. That's my job. Let me tell you a little story that probably illustrates this better than what I've said here. There was this farmer who gave his life to Jesus. And every year he just kept getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus, and he was blessed. And so finally, one year he said, Lord, you know what? You have blessed me so much this year. You know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to give you everything. I mean, I'm giving you all of my crops, whatever I make. If I make money off, it's yours. The whole thing is yours. I don't need anything. I just want to thank you for everything. I'm giving it all back to you. Planted his seed. Man, the crop began to come up, and it was a beautiful crop. But then all of a sudden they had a problem. The locusts came in. The locusts began to eat up all the fields around him. And look, for a while, his fields weren't going to be touched. But then all of a sudden the locusts all decide they're going to eat his. So they all moved in and they ate everything. Man, all the farmers around there were brokenhearted. They just lost their crops. Yet Harry went around with a smile on his face like nothing was ever wrong. And and the other farmers thought he was nuts, and they said, Harry, what in the world's wrong with you? You've lost your crops too. You know, your whole livelihood, it's all gone. And this is what he said to him. He says, you know what? I've given my life to Jesus. I just want to do his will. And I told him here several months ago, I said, look, I'm giving you these crops. They're yours. No matter what, they're yours. You take them. And if he wants to feed his crop to his locust, that's his business. You know, that's true. That's the way it has to be. We have to come to the place where no matter what, we're going to hold on to God's word and hold on to Jesus. So, he's the head of the church. Let's go back over this again. First of all, he is the Creator. Secondly, he is our Redeemer. Thirdly, he is our Sustainer. He is the head of this church, but he's something else. Over here in Colossians, we find that he is something else. Notice what it says in verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Now, it says it even better over here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Notice what this is. For in Christ the fullness of God lives in a human body. What is that saying? It's saying that Jesus Christ is actually at one with God in heaven. And when he came to this earth, he had the fullness of the Godhead in him. That's what it's saying. In other words, Jesus is God here on this earth. Now, I think this is very important for us to catch. I want to come back to this because, you know, Jesus Christ didn't have to do what he did. He had this power and authority with God. Now, again, I want to come back. I don't know whether he was the first created or whether he was here from the very beginning. None of us know. I tend to believe that he was at one with the Father from the start. But there are some texts in the Bible that give you the idea he was the first created. So we'll find out. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. Say, where did you come from, anyhow? But the fact is that he had the same power and authority that God had. The Bible's clear and crystal clear. But because he loved us, he came down three notches. Down past angels, down past man, down to fallen man's level. Now, do you understand what that means? That means that here I am a human being. Let me just give it to you a little story. We went for a walk one day, right after it rained, and there was a big old mud puddle there, and the bees had just come in and they were swarming in there, and there must have been something in that mud puddle that was making them drunker than a hoot owl because they were just drowning in that puddle. I mean, they were just drowning, and I saw this, you know, and I don't care for bees, but, you know, I saw all this, and I thought, man, these poor bees. So I tried to scoosh them out with my foot, and they still went after me, you know? So I got a stick, and I would kind of clean it out of the water. I kept sweeping them out. And you know what those bees did? They turned right around and went right back into that water. And when I started pushing them away, they started buzzing me, and, you know, I thought to myself, man, these bees are nuts. They need somebody to tell them this is bad news. Don't get close to this stuff. And you know, if I could only become a bee, I could tell them. Suddenly I thought to myself, I don't want to be a bee. But that's what Jesus did. He came down, he took on human form so that he could point out what was sin and how it does to you, and he could point out how you could have eternal life. That's what Jesus is, but he's still God. He's at one with God. And today, the Bible tells us that after he was resurrected, he went back to heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's become our defense attorney. And you know, he's never lost a case. What does that mean? That means that if I take him as my defense attorney or my lawyer, and if he becomes my God, when my name comes up in the judgment, guess what? I am going to be exonerated, be given eternal life. I've been reading the book of Romans chapter, and especially chapter 8. I've been doing a lot of research on it. I tell you, you know, I've come to the conclusion that through Jesus Christ, my relationship with Jesus Christ, it is possible. Now, I'm going to say this very carefully, but it is possible to be perfect. I'm not going to tell you how, but it is possible. It can be done through Jesus Christ. Well, let me just tell you this. Wherever Jesus is at, sin cannot exist. You know? Sin can't exist where Jesus is at. So if you have Jesus Christ fully in your life and you've totally given your life to Jesus, you're going to be like Joseph. How can I do this and sin against God? You will choose not to sin. Temptations will be there. Temptations, not sin. Through Jesus Christ, you can be victorious. Well, this is who Jesus is. He is God in human flesh. So what is he? Let's go back over. First of all, he is creator. Secondly, he is Redeemer. Thirdly, he is Sustainer. Head of the church, he is God in human flesh. Some years ago, a missionary was talking to a group of Indians in the Midwest, telling them about Jesus. And as he was talking to them, he said, you know, Jesus is the great peace giver. He wants us to be happy. He wants to be happy. We don't have to fight. When we give our lives to Jesus, we can have peace. The old Indian chief sitting there, he heard this. And all of a sudden, he jumped up and he came forward with his tomahawk in his hand. And he goes up and he says, old Indian chief, give tomahawk to Jesus. And he went back and sat down. The missionary continued talking and he talked about the fact that when Jesus was born on this earth, you know, he was born as a humble baby. He didn't even have any place to lay. He was put in a stall, didn't have any blanket or anything. And all of a sudden, the old Indian chief jumped up again and he came forward. And he had this blanket wrapped around him. He says, old Indian chief, give blanket to Jesus. And he went back and sat down. The missionary continued talking about who Jesus was and about how when Jesus came to the end of his life, they had this huge parade, but he said he didn't even have a donkey or a horse, nothing. He hadn't even borrow a donkey so that, you know, they could take him through and they're the king of this world. Didn't have anything. And the old Indian chief gets up and he goes out to the back and pretty soon he comes back leading his horse. And he brings it down there and he puts the reins in the hands of the missionary. He says, old Indian chief, give horse to Jesus. The missionary continued on with the story and told about how Jesus Christ died and why Jesus died. And all of a sudden, that old Indian chief really began to understand Jesus. And this time with tears streaming down his cheeks. He got up and came forward and he says, old Indian chief, now give life to Jesus. You know, folks, Jesus wants our tomahawks. He wants our blankets. He wants our horses. But what he really wants is our lives. That's where it's all at. And we have the privilege as individuals on this earth to be related to the greatest force in this universe. And that force is our awesome Savior, Jesus Christ. We just have to choose. You notice on the bottom of this little sheet of paper, it says, he is awesome. He is everything. He's everything that we as individuals on this earth will ever need to survive and thrive. And this awesome Jesus has promised us life everlasting, but it's all conditioned on us asking him become the boss of our lives. I'm sure that a lot of us here in this church have already done that. We've asked Christ to be in charge of our lives, and today we got up this morning, we prayed, Lord, I want to give you my life. And that's what we need to do every day. But I'm sure that in this church there's some of you folks here today that are struggling with some things. This morning could be the greatest time of your life. Like that old Indian chief, maybe you want to say, I want to give my life to Jesus. There might be somebody here, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe the second or third time, I don't know. But this morning, Jesus has spoken to you through the Holy Spirit, and you're saying to yourself, this is what I need. I need this Jesus. Now, we can't close that service without giving you that opportunity. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing our closing song, which is that my favorite song, Our God is an Awesome God. We're going to sing that song, and we're going to have a little word of prayer. And in the middle of this time of prayer, if God is speaking to you, and you feel like you somehow you just need to give your life to Jesus, this awesome Savior of this world, the Creator, the one that created you, I'd like to invite you to come up and join me. Now, this is not a general call. This is going to be a very specific call. But if God is speaking to you this morning, and you feel like you need to make that commitment to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to come. I know that's difficult. Boy, I'll tell you, that is the most important thing anybody can do in this world today. So let's stand. Let's sing our song together.